773. Imam Ali narrated this dream on the eve of his martyrdom. Next morning, he received a mortal wound when he was engaged in his morning prayers. As I was sitting, I fell asleep and dreamt that the Holy Prophet, peace of Allah be upon him, and his descendants, came in front of me. I told him of the intrigues, enmities, and sufferings that fell to my lot from the hands of his followers. He, the Prophet, told me to curse them, and I prayed to Allah to give me better companions than they, and to them a tyrant ruler in my place. Sermon 74. In this sermon, Imam Ali has censored the Iraqis, telling them that in the beginning they exerted to uphold the cause of truth and religion, but just as the achievement of goal was in view and its fulfillment was in sight, they fell a prey to the deceits of the enemy and forced him to accept the arbitration at Siffin, thereby turning a deserving success into an unexpected defeat, undoing all the good that they had done, and leaving themselves utterly defenseless in the hands of the most callous enemy, without any possibility of a bright future. After praising the Almighty Allah, praying for peace and blessings to the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his descendants, I want to tell you, Iraqis, how idiotic your behavior was. You acted like a woman who bears the sufferings and troubles of carrying a baby for 9 months. And just as the time of childbirth approaches, she forces an unnatural abortion, resulting in stillbirth and danger to her life. And then she loses her husband and leads for a long time the life of a widow, living on the mercies of her distant relations. I swear by Allah that I did not come to you of my own free will and choice, but fate has sent me here to check your rebellious intentions against religion and remove discord and disunity from your society. I am given to understand that you call me a liar. May you be punished by Allah for thus slandering me. Against whom could I lie? Could I frame a lie against Allah? I swear by Him that I am the first to accept and believe in His omnipotence and omnipresence, in His glory and lordhood, and in His mercy and kindness. Could I fabricate a lie against the Holy Prophet, peace of Allah be upon him and his descendants, while I was the first to acknowledge and accept him as his prophet and messenger? I swear by Allah that I never lied against anybody. The fact is that what I spoke has been beyond your understanding and conception. I am conveying the divine knowledge and do not want any price for it, provided that you may try to understand and grasp it. Shortly, the world will realize the truth and importance of my teachings. In 75, in this sermon, Imam Ali has taught the Muslims the way to supplicate for peace and blessings on the Holy Prophet. O Lord, who has created and set in motion the universe, who has assigned the galaxies safe anchorage in the space, and who has given inborn disposition to human minds to shape themselves towards good or towards evil, bestow the highest, the most illustrious, and the most exalted of your blessings, the most welcomed, pleasing, and agreeable of your favors on your servant and prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him and his descendants, who is the last of the prophets appointed by you, who opened the closed doors of heavenly knowledge for human beings, who intelligibly, explicitly, and clearly proclaimed the truth about you and your message, who defeated the hordes of men of vice and falsehood, and who delivered crushing defeat to the powerful armies of unbelievers and misguided people. From the time he accepted the responsibilities of your prophethood, O Lord, he obeyed your commands and, in securing your pleasures, worked so diligently, so vigorously, and so willingly that no threats of death and destruction did ever frighten him, and nothing ever deterred him from the duty imposed on him by you. He protected your revelations, guarded your covenants and testaments, and always carried on your orders, till he made the light of divine knowledge illumine the path of religion and truth for misguided people and persons groping in the darkness of uncertainty and vice, till he brought human beings out of the cesspool of sin and impiety, till he unambiguously specified your orders and clearly testified and pointed out the proofs of your might and glory. Lord, he is the trusted guardian of your revelations, the protector of your religion, the faithful trustee of your secrets. On the day of judgment, he is your witness to the response of humanity, to the call for piety and religion, and he was sent by you among human beings as your true prophet and loyal messenger. Lord, through your grace and mercy, assign to him the most sanctified and the most eminent position under the glory of your greatness and might.
Destine for him the best of virtues.
Make the religion preached by him to be the purest, the noblest, and the best of all religions. Make his place in paradise
the most exalted of positions. Destined for your favorite beings and glorify
the enlightenment brought about by him. Lord, bless him for being the prophet whose words are accepted, whose teachings are believed, whose judgments are just, whose decisions are correct. Lord, bless us with his sacred company in your paradise, where the eternal delight of a bountiful life prevails, where chaste and noble desires are inspired and fulfilled, where every conceivable pleasure is available and every imaginable comfort and luxury abounds, absolute peace of mind dominates, and exaltation and nobility of spirit govern. Sermon 76. Historians mention that when Imam Ali defeated the Basrites in the Battle of Jamal, Marwan bin Hakam, one of the chiefs of the enemy forces, was taken prisoner. Marwan requested Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein to intervene before Imam Ali on his behalf and to recommend him for his release. The two brothers requested Imam Ali to release him. Imam Ali acceded to their request and Marwan was released. They then told Imam Ali that Marwan wanted to swear the oath of allegiance to him. Imam Ali replied, "Did he not swear the oath of allegiance to me after the death of Uthman, and later he was found leading his army of rebels against me? I do not need his fealty and allegiance. His oaths of allegiance and fealty, like those of Jews, are sworn to be broken. If he swears an oath today, he will break and violate it tomorrow. Remember, he is going to have a kingdom, and it will last only so long as it takes a dog time to lick its nose. He will be father of four chieftains, and very soon he and his sons will bring disaster to Muslim world. What prophecies? History shows that each one of them came to be a true. Marwan had become the ruler of the Muslim state after the death of Yazid bin Muawiyah.
The period of his rulership was 4 months and 10 days. His four sons became chiefs. Abdulaziz was the governor and chief of Egypt. The third son, Bashir, was the governor of Al-Jazair. The massacre of Muslims at the hands of the father and his four sons are the stark facts of history. 777. Imam Ali delivered this sermon when people swore fealty to Uthman as the third caliph after the Prophet. You know very well that I deserve caliphate more than anyone else. I swear by Allah that I shall keep on bearing this injustice as long as oppression and bloodshed of Muslims are resorted to, and as long as I alone remain a target to their tyrannies. I am hopeful of being rewarded in paradise for bearing this injustice and tyranny in this world. This world and its pomp and show, accompanying wealth, power and rulership, never appealed to me. They have always been insignificant in my eyes. 778. When news reached Imam Ali that Bani Umayyah were falsely accusing him that he had a hand in the murder of Caliph Uthman, he said, "Did the knowledge of my character not prevent Bani Umayyah from falsely accusing me of having a hand in the murder of Uthman? Did the fact of my being the first to testify Islam and of my services to Islam and Muslims not dissuade and check these wicked people from calumniating and slandering me, though the advice and order of Allah the Almighty about calumniating or slandering is expressed in more forceful and explicit phrases and sentences than I could frame, yet none of these facts restrain these people from committing the sin? Certainly, I always protest against heretics and schismatics, and always hate those who doubt and suspect the truth, goodness, and sincerity of Islam. Facts about the truth, of which we feel doubts and uncertainties, should be deliberated in the light of the Holy Quran and its teachings. Undoubtedly, on the Day of Judgment, men will be rewarded or punished according to their faiths and sincere beliefs." 779. May Allah bless the man who has heard his orders and remembered them, who was called by him and obeyed the commands, who has affiliated himself to his messenger and has thus ensured his salvation, who has faithfully obeyed the commands and interdictions of his Lord and Protector and fears the consequences of his sins, who has been sincere in doing such good deeds as will win for him rewards in paradise, who has always acted piously, righteously, and honorably, who has tried to earn his blessings and avoided vices and sins, who has completely checked and restrained his desires and longings and kept his fancies and cravings under control, who has decided that patience with suffering is the best way to reach paradise and abstinence from sin as the best mode of securing salvation, who has adopted the best of the religions, Islam, as his creed and followed the bright path of truth and justice, who has correctly decided that the span of his life is a period of grace allotted to him to do good before death, and who, having provided himself for the next world, is eager to welcome death. Sermon 80. In this sermon, Imam Ali has complained of the behavior of Bani Umayyah during the caliphate of Uthman in depriving him the free use of his rightful heritage. "The Bani Umayyah grudgingly allow me bit by bit of my inheritance from the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace of Allah be upon him and his descendants. By Allah, if I remain alive to reform and improve their misguided minds, I shall teach them a lesson." Sermon 81. Lord, forgive my sins, which you know better than I. Lord, if I repeat these sins, please let your forgiveness cover them again. Lord, I have always promised myself to obey your commands and have always broken these promises. Forgive this weakness of mine. Lord, I have always declared that I shall come near you, but my mind opposed this. Forgive this fault of my mind. Lord, forgive the sins committed by my eyes. Forgive my vile utterances and errors of speech, and pardon my inability to resist temptations. Sermon 82. When Imam Ali decided to set out from Kufa to face the rebellion of Kharijites at Nahrawan, a thief, one of his companions, told him not to undertake the journey just then because, according to astrology, it was an inauspicious moment and his journey would not end in victory. Imam Ali replied to him in the following words: "Do you think that you are competent enough to tell of a time when a journey, if attempted, would end in a failure of the mission? And you are qualified enough to frighten anybody to believe that if an expedition is undertaken at a particular moment, it would result in loss and disaster? Whoever testifies or accepts your assertions falsifies the teachings of the Quran and is indifferent towards the mercy and kindness of Allah in allowing to secure objects that He wishes to have and in averting misfortunes and calamities. Besides this, your declaration makes the point clear that those who believe in your assertions should praise you instead of Allah, because you can always direct them to act at such opportune moments when they will always gain and never lose or suffer." Saying this to a thief, the Imam turned towards those who had gathered there and said, "O people, abstain from learning and believing in astrology, except only those facts of astronomy which will guide you on land and sea, because astrology will lead you towards magic, witchcraft and charlatanry. An astrologer is like a magician who practices black magic, and such a magician is an infidel, and all infidels shall go to hell. You should commence your journey in the name of Allah." Sermon 83. After the Battle of Jamal, Imam Ali delivered the following speech: "O people, women suffer from three deficiencies, that is, in religious matter, of the fact that at certain time they keep away from prayers and fastings. Deficiency of mind, that two female witnesses are considered equal to one male witness. And deficiency in share of heritage is plain, because their share is equal to half the share of male members. Keep yourself away from the wiles of wicked women, and do not associate yourself too much, even with good ones. Do not blindly follow their advice, even in good deeds, so that they may not be tempted to lead you towards bad ones." Sermon 84. "O people, do you realize what piety and devotion to Allah mean? They mean curtailment of inordinate desires, thanking Allah for His mercy and bounties, and abstinence from forbidden deeds and thoughts. If you cannot attain these heights, at least be such that craving for sins and vices may not overcome your patience and better judgment, and you may not forget to thank the all-merciful Allah for His bounties and blessings, Remember that Allah has rejected and turned down all unacceptable excuses of man by distinct and unmistakable reasonings and by His explicit commandments. Sermon 85. How can I describe a place, this world, where one's entrance is accompanied with pain and grief, and from where one's departure is death, where one's activities are to be reckoned? And if they are legitimate and lawful, one has to give an account of them. And if they are forbidden and against the orders of Allah, one shall be punished for them. Where rich and wealthy are usually engrossed in sins and vices, and the poor in destitute are engulfed in sorrows and calamities, it lures away those who try to get it, and pays homage to those who are indifferent to its allurements. It is a good teacher to those who take lessons from past nations, but blinds those who are attracted by its false charms and glamour. Sermon 86. The following is one of the famous sermons of Imam Ali. It is called Khutbah-e-Ghara, an eminent sermon, or Khutbah-e-Ajaiba, a wonderful sermon. Glory to Allah in the highest, who's exalted and sublime, not because of any eminence which can be ascertained and spoken of, but because of His power and might, who is near everything, not because of any physical nearness, but owing to His benevolence and mercy. He is the bestower of rewards and honor, and the dispeller of calamities and misfortune. I glorify Him for His constant favors, vast bounties, and lasting protection. It is my firm belief that He is eternal. He existed before anything came into existence, and that He is the mighty Creator. I seek His guidance because He is nearest source of guidance to me. I beseech Him for His help because He is mighty enough to help me wherever and whenever I need it. I trust Him because He can protect and assist me to overcome my difficulty. I testify that Muhammad, peace of Allah be upon him and his descendants, is His servant and His prophet. He appointed him as a prophet to execute His orders, convey His final message, and warn people of the results of their actions, pointing to them the examples of people who disobeyed Him and suffered the consequences. O servants of Allah, I advise you to fear Allah, who with utmost kindness set for you examples and gave you intellect, so that you can judge for yourselves that consequences of good or evil deeds, who has fixed period for various stages of your life and a time for its end, who gave you such an intellectual mind that you may provide yourself with such garments that allow you to live happily and comfortably in all kinds of climates, from polar regions to the equator, and in all varieties of land, from scorching deserts to marshy river basins, who arranged for you inexhaustible and superior varieties of food. He is fully aware of your capabilities and capacities of doing good or bad work. He has fixed rewards for your good deeds. He has conferred upon you extensive favors and best blessings. He has warned you with rational and effective reasons of the consequences of your actions. Since the beginning of the race of mankind to the end of it, He knows every human being, and has fixed the span of life of every one of them in this world, where they are being tested. And He has foretold the effects of their good and bad thoughts and actions. O people, you are being tested, and your errors of commission and omission will be taken into account. The streams of this world are dirty, and its springs are turbid. Most of the ways and means of enjoyment in this world are vicious, and many sources of income are sinful. Its show is attractive but destructive. It is a quick-ending deception, a speedily fading light, a hurryingly shade, and a weak and unreliable protection. It is so deceptive that it waits till those who abhor it start taking interest in it, and those who do not know its deception are attracted by it and are satisfied with it. Then it shows scanty regard for them. It snares and captivates them, and tying the rope of death round their necks drags them to their graves. From there they will be resurrected to receive the punishment of their deeds and to arrive at their final destination. In this world, the fate of every posterity is similar to that of its ancestors. Neither death leaves off the work of destruction, nor the survivors give up their sinful activities. Human beings follow in one another's footsteps. Groups after groups and nations after nations end their days without mending their ways. Thus will it continue till the world comes to an end and the day of judgment arrives. Then Allah will resurrect them all from their graves if they have been buried, or from the bodies of other animals, beasts, birds, fish, and reptiles, if their bodies have been eaten up. They shall all assemble in groups, and advancing silently and quietly in rows, moving forward in obedience to the divine command, and will hurry towards their destination. They all will be before Allah, and every one of them shall hear the announcer calling them to their places. Their conditions will be wretched and helpless, very undignified and pitiable. No one will be there to help them or to come to their rescue. No arguments and excuses will be of any use to them, and no hope will save them. Hearts sinking, hopes dying, voices silenced, tones suppressed, bodies perspiring, and minds petrified with astonishment and terror. These will be the signs of that gathering, when human beings will thus be assembled to receive the final result of his reward or punishment. The thundering voice of the announcer telling their fate will make everyone shiver with terror and apprehension.